What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, voice of the Bulls, Chuck Swirsky on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Always a pleasure. And tonight, we're not talking Bulls. In fact, we're really not chopping up the Brewers win tonight over the Cubs. And you can hear more about that tomorrow morning with Mully and Haw. But we're going to discuss the life and the legacy, and we can mourn, we can grieve, we can celebrate all in one evening of Cubs conversation regarding the loss of Ryan Sandberg, who passed away at his home following really a tough battle with cancer. And we want to hear from you, whether you're driving back from Milwaukee, who caught the ball game tonight and you just heard the news. Maybe you heard about it while watching the game. Maybe you caught it on radio, whatever the case may be. We want to hear from you at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. The first time I ever heard of Ryan Sandberg, and we're dating now, we're going way back. We're going to the early 80s when I was working at WGN Radio doing pre- and post-game shows on the Cubs radio network. And Dallas Green had just taken over as the general manager, VPGM, of the Cubs ball club. And obviously, Dallas wanted people that he knew from the Phillies organization. And one of the first deals he made was just prior to 1982. And that was a trade with the Cubs in Philadelphia. And the principals were Larry Boa, who played for Dallas Green on the 1980 World Series championship team, beating, ironically, Jim Fry, then of the Kansas City Royals, who later became the manager of the Cubs and was a part, a big part, of the 84 Cubs team, featuring the MVP that year, Ryan Sandberg. But also, Ivan DeJesus went to Philadelphia. And DeJesus was a really good ball player for the Cubs. But Dallas Green would not make that trade without Sandberg. Now, Ryan Sandberg, the first time I had a chance to speak to him, we had a common thread, both from the Pacific Northwest. Sandberg was from Spokane, Washington, which is on the east side of the state of Washington, and he was all set to go to Washington State coming out of high school. He was a great high school player. Specifically, he was a fantastic high school quarterback. He was recruited by a number of schools, but he wanted to stay close to home, and he had signed a letter of intent to play at Washington State under Jimmy Walden. And me being from Seattle, we would talk about the Cougars of Washington State and my team, the University of Washington Huskies. So when we first met, you know, we had that in common. But the thing that I will always remember about Ryan Sandberg, even when he was MVP and he established himself as the greatest second baseman in the history of Major League Baseball, and obviously one of the greatest players in Cubs history, that he never sought the spotlight. Never, ever, ever. He was never a me guy, but the spotlight found him. And when I say that, You know, we can go back and we will hear some highlights of the Samberg game, June 23rd, 1984, and I'm going to tell you about that in a moment. But Ryne Sandberg was so unassuming. And he, as I mentioned, dealing with the press early, he was very shy. He was an introvert, and he came out of that shell later as he got more exposure, obviously, with the national media as well. But Ryne Sandberg was a class act. Back in those days, doing pre- and post-game shows, we had gift certificates. And this shows you the kind of guy Ryne was. We had gift certificates to various restaurants and whatnot. I never, ever, ever, in all the times I interviewed him, and you can multiply by the hundreds, but the times I interviewed Ryne Sandberg, he would take that gift certificate and give it to a ball boy or a staff member of the Cubs organization. Not once did I see him put that gift certificate in his locker room. Now, people could say, well, hey, Chuck, come on, the guy's, you know, making a lot of money. That wasn't the point. The point is, it was never, ever about him. And that's where we're going to start tonight, at 312-644-6767. And before we get to the calls, I got to talk about the Samberg game. First, we're going to set the scene. So it's June 23rd, 1984, Saturday, beautiful day in Chicago. And as I mentioned, I was doing pre- and post-game work on the Cubs radio network. In that small, tiny booth, we had Harry Carey, Milo Hamilton, Vince Lloyd, Lou Boudreaux, myself, and engineer Donnie Albert. And it's hard to believe, but all of those gentlemen are now gone. And Vince and Lou would sit in with Milo Hamilton on radio. Harry would do the first three and the last three on television and would slide over to radio and do the middle innings on WGM radio. But he and Steve Stone worked TV. Meantime, Milo Hamilton on the radio side worked the first three and the last three and went to TV with Steve Stone for the middle three innings on WGN TV. That Saturday, Bob Costas was the play-by-play announcer for NBC. It was the NBC game of the week, and what a game it was. So Harry is on the mic, and he is going, it was vintage Harry Carey. And I'm talking about vintage Harry Carey. And Harry brought his A game to the ballpark, as did Bob Costas. So the Cardinals are in front, and the Cubs kept pecking away, and Bruce Sutter, the former Cub, is on the mound for the Cardinals. And Sutter is having another fantastic Bruce Sutter-type year. Of course, Bruce Sutter, Ryne Sandberg, both in the Hall of Fame. Unfortunately, both are now deceased. But we're going to play the highlights now. This is Bob Costas with Sandberg at the plate on June 23rd, 1984.
Hit the double or triple.
In the left center field and deep. This is a tie ball game.
Hitting producer of baseball, Harry Coyle. 1-1 pitch.
Oh! He hits it to deep left center. Look out. Do you believe it? It's gone.
All right, so that was Bob Costas. And as a matter of fact, when we started talking about this ball game, and it was an incredible ball game, Bob Costas was doing the game on NBC, as we mentioned, and he had already given out the NBC player of the game to Willie McGee, who was magnificent that ball game. But then Sandberg, of course, comes through and was fantastic. And we're going to hear from Sandberg about that particular game.
Well, in that moment, it was a Saturday afternoon game. It's the Cardinals, always a big deal, full house. We're right there at the top of the division, half a game out, something like that, as I remembered. Dallas Green organization just made some trades to bring over Dennis Eckersley and Rick Sutcliffe, along with the other players in those deals. And, you know, I was just 24 years old, youngest on the team. And as I watch this and I check in with the veteran players, Larry Boa, Ron Say, these are good. We have a good team now. You know, this is all prior to the game, but they said, this is all good. And then this game happens coming from behind and actually taking over first place that day on national televised game, Saturday yeah. game of the week. For me, it was another day at the office in some regards, playing second base, doing my thing. happened to have a very good game offensively, best of my career, which really settled in after the last active player on the bench, Davey Owen, goes up there and gets the hit that drives in the winning run, and we celebrate the W as a team. That's when the reflection, wow, that pretty good game right there. And, you know, I was like floating going into the dugout. And at that moment, I was interrupted by over at the Cardinals side, came over and they said, Mr. Sandberg, Jack Buck would like to do the post-game show on the Cardinals network. I said, okay. I walked across the field. The crowd went nuts once again. Here I am with Jack Buck, you know, legendary announcer, as it turns out. I was somewhat naive and unaware of that. I do 5-7 minutes with him. Pop out of the dugout, jog across to our dugout. The crowd goes nuts again. I said, okay, a little tip of the cap, and, you know, this is something different. I get into the locker room, and I couldn't even see my locker with the media circled around it. And that was my first taste of a game like that and that type of a scenario. So that's when it sunk in that this was something different.
All right, that's Ryan Sandberg.
They knew that there was another game, and that was it. Another game tomorrow.
Yeah, with Mullion Hall. And one thing about Sandberg, as you heard, he said it's just another day at the office, and that's how humble Ryan Sandberg was. And we're going to take some calls now at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. And we're going to be on the air tonight for another 2 hours. And this is really about your reflections on Sandberg, what he meant to you as a baseball fan, and whether or not you're a Cub fan, a Major League Baseball fan, a Chicago sports fan, this forum is really for you tonight. And again, our deepest condolences. I know I can speak for everyone at this radio station, those who have followed and covered Sandberg as a member of the media or as a baseball fan. And we're going to go to Scott from Glenview. Scott, welcome 670 The Score, and let's talk a little Rhino. What's on your mind?
Hey, Chuck, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Okay. Really what it comes down to for me, as a kid growing up in the 1980s, playing baseball, Ryan was the reason I played second base, the reason I wanted to play baseball. He just, as a kid, watching him, he played the game the way it should be played, the way I wanted to play the game, and then just how he was as a person, he was such an inspiration to me as how I would want to be a man growing up. And so it's really, that's what it is growing up in Chicago and playing baseball. It was Ryan Sandberg.
And remember, Sandberg came into Major League Baseball because he was playing third, he was playing short, he was playing second, and again, the greatest second baseman in the history of Major League Baseball, that's Ryan Sandberg. Scott, thanks so much. Appreciate the call. Leaving one line open at 312-644-6767, and Watts, what's happening? Go ahead, you're on the air, William.
Hello?
Yes, William.
Thanks, Chuck, for giving us fans this avenue to express our, you know, our thanks and sympathy for Sandberg and Sandberg's family, first and foremost. You know, I was another child of the 80s, you know, grew up with Sandberg as my hero. You know, we emulate his batting stance, playing wiffle ball in the backyard. You know, I never thought, I come from a small town 2 hours west of Chicago, and never in a million years did I ever think I'd get a chance to meet Rhino. And they say, you know, the old saying, don't meet your heroes because you might be disappointed, was not the case with Rhino. And I was lucky enough to meet him, work on a few business projects with him, and he was the most, you know, wonderful, gracious, down-to-earth guy. One of the best that I've ever met, you know, player wise. Yep. And my heart goes out to the Sandberg family, and just pray, they're in my thoughts and prayers tonight. It was a little disheartening. I was at the game in Milwaukee, and it was a little disheartening, you know, when the announcement came out, and I thought maybe they'd put something on the scoreboard, and but they didn't. Maybe they'll do it tomorrow.
They'll do it tomorrow. That's a guarantee. No doubt about that. But again, I appreciate the call. The last time, actually, one of the few times that I've seen Ryan, because I'm out of the Cubs loop, I'm focused, obviously, and locked in to the Bulls. But when Ryan went into the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame, we had a great conversation that night at Wintrust. And we were talking about just things about, you know, covering the Cubs and what the 84 season meant to Ryan. You have to understand something. The Cubs were horrible, were absolutely brutal. And then, in fact, in spring training, the Cubs were ridiculously poor. And Dallas Green made the trade. Gary Matthews, the Sarge, came over from Philadelphia. And all of a sudden, they took off in the regular season. And that ball club had so much fun. And the chemistry on that ball club. And I'll never forget that Gary Carter, then of Montreal, came out and was the first non-Cub to come out and say, that guy's the MVP. And Sandberg just picked up a lot of steam. He put it together big time and, of course, won the MVP. And we're going to go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Scott. Scott, welcome to 670 The Score. What's going on? Scott, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for letting us share tonight about Rhino. And I was 10 years old in the summer of 84. I had the privilege to go to the first home game after they won the division in Pittsburgh, and sitting in the upper deck and watching the Cubs take the field to the tune of Van Halen's Jump.
Yes.
And just hearing Wayne Messmer say, "You're 1984 Eastern Division champion, Chicago Cubs." I was only 10, and it's still so vivid to me. And like a previous caller said, you know, Rhino was the single reason I wanted to play Little League Baseball. And I watched his humble attitude and his gracious demeanor, you know, all through his career. It was never about him. And I almost want to think that maybe a little of that rubbed off on me. And now my son, who's a high school baseball player, and he's my baseball hero. And between he and Cal Ripken, those guys were, they were spotlights on my childhood. So I never thought I would really read the headline that I read tonight, even though I knew he was sick. So this is a tough one.
Yeah, I think that's a great analogy you just used with Sandberg in the National League, Ripken in the American League with Baltimore, both very, very similar regarding their personalities. And yet, you know, you look at that era of baseball for the Cubs, and for that matter, you know, you always distinguish who was the best player at that position in the decade. And you would have to say that Sandberg was, period. I mean, Sandberg was magnificent with the glove, as we know. Thanks to Jim Fry, he made Sandberg change his hitting stance and hit the ball in the air. And also from a defensive standpoint, making sure how he played the angles in terms of catching a fly ball in shallow, you know, right center field. So all these things came into play for Sandberg. And again, you know, it's hard to believe that he's no longer with us. But one thing I will say, we need to celebrate him as a man, first and foremost, and as a solid, solid individual. He loved his family. He loved his children, his grandchildren, everyone, his wife, Margo. I mean, you could not ask for a better person to represent this organization than Ryan Sandberg. Let's go back to the phone lines. Joe on the road, 644-6767. Joe, what's happening?
Hey, Chuck, thanks for giving us the opportunity to talk about Ryan. I know, and I'm coming back from the game tonight. And, yeah, just to dovetail off of what you were saying, that 84 season was really magical. It was what a fun year. And Rhino was such an all-around player, like you said. I think he had 19 triples that year, to go along with 19 home runs. And with the gold glove at second base, I mean, he was just untouchable. He was so, so far ahead of everyone that year. And he was only 24, which I didn't realize until I heard him say that.
Yes.
On the tape that you played, the interview. But I was lucky enough to be at that first playoff game at Wrigley that year when we won like 12-3.
I think it was, 13-0 or 13-1? Remember Sutcliffe hit a home run in that game.
Yes, yes. And that was probably the greatest game I've ever been. I mean, that was just so much fun. And I remember walking out, and Bill Murray and his brothers and their entourage were walking right there, right next to us. Everyone was, you know, just enjoying it so much. But it was largely because of Rhino.
Yes. And again, you know, we look at that period of time. You mentioned the 84 team. And that 84 team, you talk about chemistry, and we throw that word around a lot in sports. But that team had serious chemistry because everyone, yeah. When they went out in groups, 7, 8 players. They'd go to a country western concert. They'd go out, you know, for dinner together. And it was really a great group of young people that came together, and it just gelled. And as the caller mentioned before, Dallas Green made the trade with Cleveland. He gets Rick Sutcliffe, who goes 16-1, wins the Cy Young. But I mean, you had Jody Davis, and you had, you know, Ron Say, you had all these players, and you had Harry Carey call in it, and it was just great. So thank you for the call. Let's go to Bill from the Northwest side on 670 The Score, 312-644-6767. So, Bill, the first, when I say Ryan Sandberg, what's the first thing you think of?
Well, it's the 1984 season, Chuck, and I'm 59 years old. I was 18 years old. I was a senior at Gordon Tech High School, a mile from Wrigley Field in 1984. And June 23rd, 1984, is the greatest regular season game in Wrigley Field history. It doesn't, you know, you can't compare it to playoff games and World Series games, but for a regular season, 41 years ago, and that game still marks Ryan Sandberg's burst onto the scene for the Chicago Cubs and made his way to the Hall of Fame. I will never forget that season. Chuck, you know, the middle 70s, the Cubs were terrible, and I saw Jose Cardinal and Rick Monday, but I didn't get to see Ernie Banks. I've seen the highlights of him in his 500th home run and saw Billy Williams and Fergie Jenkins and stuff. But Ryan Sandberg is my Ernie Banks and my generation's Ernie Banks. And the one thing that he got to do that those guys didn't get to do was play in the playoffs.
Yes.
And he got two teams to the playoffs. He got an overachieving team in 1989 to get to the National League Championship Series against the Giants. But the 84 Cubs should have played and would have beaten the Tigers. Unfortunately, they played three lousy games in San Diego, but that doesn't take away how great Ryan Sandberg is.
Yeah, we could dissect that series because you're right. I mean, the Cubs had a 2-0 series lead going to San Diego. They should have won at least, obviously, one of those games, which would have propelled them to the World Series against the Tigers, who went on to beat the Padres in the World Series. But that 84 ball club, I mean, think about this. You're on national TV, and a lot of people, you know, that was the game of the week on NBC. I'm talking about the game of the week. And, you know, the Cubs are down early, and all of a sudden they rally, and Sandberg propelled himself to a completely different level. People around the country had no idea how good Sandberg was until that game. And I guarantee
if I remember correctly, Chuck, that the All-Star game was like a week or two later, and he was like third or fourth in All-Star voting. Like Steve Sachs was ahead of him, and all of a sudden, boom. After that game, the votes started coming in, and he was the starting second baseman in the 84 All-Star game in San Francisco.
Yep. You know, I kidded with him a few games after because, you know what, I'm doing the post-game show upstairs in that little tiny press box at Wrigley Field, so I couldn't get down to the field. So a couple, you know, a week or so pass, and I see Sandberg where, you know, he's getting mobbed all the time now. And I kidded with him. He's coming out before the game. And I said, hey, Ryan, you know, are you going to still talk to me now that you're big time? And he just laughed and said, hey, I always got time for you, Chuck. And I'll tell you what, he was so gracious and so wonderful as he was as an ambassador with the Cubs. And I'll tell you what, You know, Sam, I think deep down inside, Ryne Sandberg always wanted to manage the Cubs. But, you know, after you know, that ship had sailed and he went to Philadelphia and managed for a little bit, you know, the Cubs welcomed him back with open arms. And I'm so glad they did, because he really cherished the opportunity to come back here and to get involved with the fans and get involved with the organization and to see the love that Chicago had for Sandberg day after day after day was so heartwarming. And I really think he embraced this. And we're still, as I mentioned in the opening tease just 20 minutes ago, when he came to Chicago, number one, no one really knew who Ryne Sandberg was. Secondly, he was an introvert. I mean, he wasn't, I don't want to say he was uncomfortable with the media, but he just didn't have a lot of practice dealing with them. And so.
And Chuck, there was no sports radio back then.
No.
Obviously, I mean, you did your show before you got to GN. You were on WCFL, and then you went to WGN. And the thing was, is that when Dallas Green made the trade, it was like, well, all these, you know, he had bought in Keith Moreland and guys, and everybody was saying it's all this Philadelphia guys, all this Philadelphia guys, and let alone he ends up getting a Hall of Fame player from that nobody had ever heard of.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. See, the knock on Dallas was, well, he's bringing in Lee Elia, Lee Elia, coach under Dallas Green of Philadelphia. He's bringing in Bing Hampton to run the front office with marketing and whatnot. It was, the Cubs slogan was building a new tradition. You remember that?
So he
he makes the trade, and I'll never forget, we had Larry Boa on, and Larry said, I'm telling you right now, this kid Sandberg can play. And Sandberg,
wasn't he like, was it 1-for-30 or 1-for-40 first 40 games, 40 at bats as a Cub?
Yes, in 82. And he got off but he was called up by Philadelphia late 81. As a matter of fact, his first major league base hit was here at Wrigley Field. That's right.
Yes.
So you have
it's
a great memory.
Chuck.
Thank you. Take care. All right, we're going to take a break. We have more calls coming up, and we are on the air until midnight. We do want to hear from you. We are going to hear some audio clips from Ryne. We're going to hear some just wonderful, wonderful play-by-play highlights of his career as well. We're going to go back to the Ryne Sandberg statue. His unveiling speech was tremendous. His Hall of Fame speech, incredible. So all this is coming your way. But again, tonight is about Cubs fans. 312-644-6767. This is Chuck Swirsky. We have Tyler Farengel spinning the dials along with Sean Sears on the home of the Cubs, 670 The Score.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views, the cool waterfall mist during a hot hike, and the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
We're back with Chuck Swirsky on 670 The Score.
It's 10:30 in the great city of Chicago, and this is a special edition of Cubs postgame coverage right here on 670 The Score, as we are having a conversation with the Cub faithful dealing with the loss of Hall of Fame second baseman Ryne Sandberg, who passed away today. And, we have taking a look, just a really hard look at what has happened to baseball in general. And, you know, with everything going on in baseball, with labor talks coming up in a year or two, you know, it was so refreshing when you talked to Ryne Sandberg, especially that Hall of Fame speech where he said, you know what, we played the game the right way. And that was Sandberg 24/7. And it was great to hear Sandberg last year when they unveiled the statue at Wrigley Field.
It's miraculous what can happen when dreams meet opportunity and hard work. Your dreams come true and much, much more than you ever dreamed. So here we are today, standing in front of this statue, knowing the greats that already have immortalized in bronze around this grand old ballpark, the heroes of the youth and the heroes of Cubs baseball.
And it's Ryne Sandberg, again, immortalized forever in Cooperstown, along with Wrigley Field. Let's go to the phone lines at 312-644-6767. And let's go to Scott from Highland Park. Scott.
Chuck, how are you? It's a pleasure to be talking to you. I'm sorry it's under these circumstances. I got to tell you, it was really hard to watch the game tonight after we heard the news. Ryne Sandberg touched the lives of so many people in Chicago with his professionalism, with his class. He made playing second base look easy. He was always prepared. He was always about the team. And you mentioned his Hall of Fame speech, which was one of the most inspiring speeches I've ever heard, especially for a guy that wasn't a big talker. And the humility in which he played the game, it just touched my life. And I treasure the fact that we got to see this guy play in Chicago for all these years. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate you taking the time.
All right. Thank you so much, Scott. In fact, we're going to replay the Sandberg Hall of Fame speech in a few minutes. But let's go to Kevin from Gary, Indiana. Kevin, welcome. 670 The Score.
Hey, Chuck, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I remember when you came to Chicago in 1979. I was 9 years old.
Thank you for saying
that. You did a great job. I'm 55 now. Chuck, I want to say I was sorry to hear about the loss of Ryne Sandberg. He was a great person, great professional, and the game in 1984 when he hit the two homers off Bruce Sutter, who passed in October 22, that was the game that put him on the map to stardom.
Yep, and again, if you talk to any Cub fan who is around during that period of time, it's hard to believe. It's been 41 years. But if anyone was remotely a Cub fan during that era of Cubs baseball, that game is etched in our hearts forever. I mean, I can't believe it's been 41 years. I remember if that game was yesterday. And I remember that game for a lot of reasons, because not only on the field with what happened with Sandberg and the Cubs against the Cardinals, but there was a lot of drama. Trust me when I say this. There was a lot of drama in the broadcast booth that day. And as I mentioned, you talk about Milo Hamilton, Harry Carey, who had a rather interesting relationship between the two of them. You had Milo Hamilton, as we mentioned, Harry Carey. We had Lou Boudreaux and Vince Lloyd, two class acts. Then you had the engineer Donnie Albert, who was really the chief engineer of the Cubs, along with Jimmy Lucas during those days in the mid-80s on GM Radio. And then I was doing pre and post. And at the time, I'm, 29, 30 years old. And so when that game went down and the fans did not leave the ballpark, I mean, they stayed, and as Sandberg mentioned in that clip, he went across the field from the Cubs' third base dugout over to the first base dugout. I mean, how many players, opposing players, are featured in a postgame show by the opposing radio network? You don't hear that anymore. But again, this game was incredible. So I appreciate the call. Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, sir.
Yep, from Gary, Indiana. Kevin, thank you. Jason from St. Charles, you're on 670 The Score. What's going on, Jason?
Hey, Chuck. Thanks so much for doing this tonight. Mm-hmm. I think you are the perfect person to be hosting something like this. I know you're a Bulls guy, and I love you for that. But I think your empathy really sticks out when you talk about somebody as special as Rhino. I think that what sticks out for me is a lot of people are talking about 1984, and I was two at the time, so I don't really get to remember that. But I wanted to share an experience I had with him back in 2017. I went to a PGA Superstore, and I was just browsing around, and I happened to notice him shopping over in the clearance section. So I did what any diehard Rhino fan would do, and I stalked him for about a good 15 minutes. And then when he finally made eye contact with me, and I went up and talked to him, told him how big of a Cubs fan I was, and I grew up watching him. I told him that, you know, when I got home from school, I would go and, you know, see if he was on the game so I could, like, watch him before I went and did something with my friends. And he was just nothing but, like, courteous, nothing but kind and listening to me. We talked about Chris Bryant, how great he was. We talked about Rizzo, how amazing that run was. Mm-hmm. And you could see how genuine he was in, like, his support for the current Cubs team, even though it wasn't him. And we finished the conversation, and the last thing he did was just say, "Hey, did you want to get a picture?" And I thought to myself, like, how amazing. Like, I didn't have to be awkward and ask for that. So I think, like, him outside of what he did for the team and just embracing the fans the way that he did. And then fortunately, too, 6 years later, I was able to have both of my daughters met him at the Cubs convention. So definitely a class act through and through. So, again, Chuck, thank you so much for hosting this.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, Sandberg, you know, he spent 15 years in a Cubs uniform. And I hope people realize from a consistent standpoint, you know, some guys have maybe one or two all-star appearances and then they kind of fade away. Ryan Sandberg was a 10-time all-star, a 10-time all-star. And not only that, you know, he won the home run derby contest. He also hit 40 home runs in a season. And by the way, he was a gold glove winner, I think 9 or 10 times. So we're looking at the greatest second baseman, with all due respect to Joe Morgan and Rogers Hornsby and Jackie Robinson and the rest of the great second basemen. Ryan Sandberg was the and remains the greatest second baseman in baseball history. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we are going to play the Hall of Fame speech, because Sandberg, you know, very, very seldom would Sandberg be opinionated to the point where people would take a step back and say, "Whoa, Rhino." But the Hall of Fame speech, he laid it out beautifully and perfectly during the steroid issue. We're going to hear from Sandberg in a moment. And Tyler Farrigal is our engineer. Tyler, who do we go to next on the phone lines? Because these phone lines are jammed. Who do we go to next?
We're going to go to Amanda from Chesterton, Indiana.
All right, Amanda, what's on your mind? Hello.
Well, good evening. Good evening. Thank you for taking my call and doing this for us, for everyone, not just Rhino, but his family and all Cubs fans alike. But I was 7 in 97 as last year with the Cubs,
not
as a player, but I ended up working for the Cubs in 2016 to 2019, and he treated every single worker there with love and admiration. I'm going to go talk about the other half of the spectrum, not just the player, but the person in which he was to his family, to the workers at Wrigley. We're still such a big Cubs family, coworkers and all. Whoever we meet at the games, we want to make sure that they love coming back and retention, right? Rhino did that for us. He was an ambassador for us, for the Cubs back off or front office. And he not only loved playing the game, but he loved Wrigley. He loved the people. And it showed how he played, his elegance on and off the field.
Yep. And I'm glad you mentioned his family because, again, I'm sure a number of people are going to reach out to his family. Maybe certain family members right now happen to be listening after a very, very difficult day when they lost, you know, someone near to dear, not only with the family, but also what he meant to the city of Chicago and the Cubs organization. But, you know, Ryan, you know, when he came to Chicago, again, you know, people had no idea if he could play. And as we mentioned, 82 at the start of the season, this guy really, really struggled. And yet, you know what? Credit the Cubs and credit Dallas Green, because Dallas believed in him. And to be honest with you, the Phillies did not want to give up Sandberg, but Dallas Green would not make that trade with DeJesus and Larry Boa unless Sandberg was in that deal. And if anyone knew the Phillies organization, it was Dallas Green, and he had to make a trade with the GM of the Phillies. At that point, it was a guy by the name of Paul Owens. They called him the Pope because he did look like Pope Paul VI. And so, but again, they would go back and forth on different players, different combinations. And Dallas Green held his own and said, nope, you're not getting DeJesus unless I get Sandberg. And look where we are today. Unbelievable. So thank you very much. Appreciate it, Amanda. Let's go to Billy from Mount Greenwood. And Billy, you're on 670 The Score.
Hey, Chuck Swirsky. Great talking to you. You're a Chicago legend, buddy. And you're the right man for this job tonight. I got a lighthearted story about Ryan Sandberg.
Bring it. I'd love to hear it.
I came out of the Chicago Fire Department in 2006. So we had a small microwave fire at Northwestern Hospital. So we're running in, a downtown fireman. We're running in there with our high-rise packs, and Ryan's in the lobby, and we're like, that's Ryan Sandberg, you know. And it was a small fire, so here he's telling us that his daughter was doing an internship at Northwestern. She was going to be a nurse. So one of the firemen, he's like bragging to Ryan Sandberg, goes, you know, last year we played the police department there, and I hit a home run out at Wrigley Field. And just like that, Ryan Sandberg goes, the wind must have been blowing out, or the wind must have been blowing in, he tells him. The wind must have been blowing out. I go, the wind must have been blowing out, he tells him. And the guy goes, no, the wind was blowing in. But all of us standing in the lobby, Ryan Sandberg, we're laughing because it was like he was one of the guys, you know. And I think that's what everybody, every Chicago fan is going to remember about Ryan Sandberg.
And how about the combination with Sandberg and Sean Dunston? How cool was that, huh?
Absolutely, with the Shauna meter, and I think Ryan Sandberg had a lot to do with helping Sean Dunston grow up as a big leaguer, you know, because he was so erratic as a shortstop. When he came up with that arm, you know, he had that night.
Oh, he had a rocket arm
across the diamond. The rocket arm, you know, Ryan had to kind of work with him and settle him down with that arm of his. But just a really sad day. You know, what a warrior, what a guy that, you know, he played the game, like they said, he played the game the right way. He was a great defensive second baseman. He could turn the double play. He could go out and get foul balls down the right field line in the outfield, one of the best. And I always remember him with those flip-flop sunglasses that we used to always want to wear as kids. I'm 51 years old now, so I'm in that era too. I was 10 years old when he had that game in 1984.
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to have a lot of coverage tomorrow right here on 670 The Score on Ryan Sandberg. And I hope we can get Rick Sutcliffe on tomorrow, because Rick and Ryan were so, so close. That whole 84 team was so close. And, you know, Rick, I know Rick very well. During those days as a Cub, he was talking about class guys like Sandberg. Rick Sutcliffe is a total class act, the Red Baron, as Harry Carey would call him. So they would go to and from the ballpark every day. And, you know, when that trade was consummated with Cleveland, you know, Dallas Green, I did a weekly show with Dallas, and I'm in his office. God is listening right now. I'm telling you this story. 5 days before that trade, I go into Dallas Green's office. Arlene Gill, she was the executive assistant to Dallas Green. So I poked my head in saying, hey, Dallas, don't forget we're on the air on Friday, so-and-so. And he goes, yep. And I said, Dallas, you know what? And I had a good relationship with Dallas. I said, Dallas, you know, I love this ball club, but I'm going to give you a suggestion. There's so many rumors going around. And remember, we're not talking about the internet here, right? There was no cell phones. Yeah. And I said, Dallas, there are a lot of rumors going around with Cleveland and, you know, about Bly, Levin, and Sutcliffe, which one? And I said, for what it's worth, you got to go with Sutcliffe. 5 days later, not that I had anything to do with it, the trade is made, and the chemistry with Sandberg and Sutcliffe was amazing. Yeah.
The Cubs gave up Joe Carter in that deal. That was
Joe Carter, and Mel Hall. Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sandberg was great about bringing people together and galvanizing that type of player with the Cubs. So I thank you for the call. Appreciate it. And let's go to Rick from Peru, Illinois on 670 The Score.
Chuck.
Yes, Rick.
How you doing, buddy?
Good, good, good.
Ooh, geez, boy. So I'm also 65. So I've been with Chuck Swirsky for almost 45 years.
Well, there you go. And I'm just 25. I don't know what happened. Maybe Benjamin Button has come into play here. But go ahead, Rick. What's happened? When people talk about Rick Sandberg, what's the first thing when people talk about Ryan Sandberg with you?
I hate to say it, but it was the game that I didn't go to. I went to...
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
be an artist,
be an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Just like 35 games in the summer of '84. So I lived at Clark and DeVersey in Chicago, and I would walk up and would sit in the bleachers for $3 a seat. $3. So on that day, I was supposed to, I lived by myself, and I would just walk up to the park, and I would get in for $3, and I would watch the game, and left field sucks, right field sucks, and for $3. But on that one day, I had to go back home to Peru, like 2 hours away, to go see my future wife. It was well worth it, obviously. I missed that game, even though I saw 35 games that year sitting in the bleachers. But I took my future wife to the first game of the playoffs in 84. That was like 25. I was broke, so we couldn't afford to get in. But I told her, let's just go up. We'll hang out at the Cubby Bear, and we'll just soak in the atmosphere of the first playoff game. You know, and Bob Dernier, you know, leads off with the home run. After the game, so this is what I'm getting at. After the game, we're standing at the third base side. Everything is reconstructed right now, but that used to be the players' parking.
Yes, right.
Garage.
Yes,
right there. So that was a nationally televised game. We got there. We didn't get into the game, so we're standing there, waiting for the players, and so we're inside the ABC. Where their trailer is right by the players' parking lot. And my future wife.
Okay, Rick.
Not a baseball fan, but she loved Ryan Sandberg. So here comes Ryan Sandberg after the game. I kind of push her out. Go. Get his autograph. So she got his autograph. She got Thad Bosley's autograph. We're standing right next to Reggie Jackson. So Ryan Sandberg was great. Thad Bosley, great. And Reggie Jackson's right next to
us. Well, the important thing is that Sandberg helped you out with the autograph. All right, Rick, thank you. We're going to go to Tom from St. Joe's, Michigan. Hello, Thomas. You're on 670 The Score.
Hey, Chuck. I've been listening to you for years, and I have a quick story about meeting Ryan Sandberg.
Okay.
So, in the year the Cubs won the World Series, I took off from St. Joe, where I live, drove to Lansing, Michigan, and then drove to the game in Cleveland, Game 7.
Yes.
And hard to get tickets. I paid $1,100 for the ticket. A lot of guys like me went by themselves because they didn't want their wives to know how much money they spent on tickets. So anyway, I go to the game. Finally get in. I'm in row Y. The game goes, as you remember, the game goes into a rain delay.
Rain delay, yep.
So I go down to the bathroom in the first level, and I said to this Cub fan, I said, why the heck did they take Hendricks out? And he says to me, I don't know. Why don't you ask Ryan Sandberg? He's standing right next to you. So... So there's
please don't Sandberg tell me you asked for an autograph, all right? All right, thank you. I okay, Dave from Slingler, Wisconsin, 670 The Score. We have a couple lines open right now at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Yes, sir, go ahead, David. David, you're on 670 The Score. Go ahead. All right, we're going to take Steve from Amboy. Steve, you're on 670 The Score.
Yeah, I wanted to just say that my biggest memory of Sandberg was, I believe, in 84 when he was on the DL list and came back. First time up, he hit a home run. That was just amazing. Just getting right off the DL and hitting that home run. I was there with my dad at the time. Best time I ever had.
Well, see, those memories will be with you forever and from generations to generations. I mean, we've taken calls tonight from the Great Midwest. We've had calls from the South, from the Eastern Seaboard, because we're in the 50,000 watts territory with our signal at 670 The Score. And the people know what game they were at, whether it was the Sandberg game. Of course, probably 1 million people said they were at the Sandberg game. But all I'm saying is that Sandberg had such an effect, a profound effect on this franchise, not only on the field. I mean, games come and go, and certain games are special than others. But I'm talking about the way he conducted himself. I mean, did you ever see Sandberg lose his cool? No.
No. One other thing I want to mention is the fact that a lot of people came out of the Cubs organization that, just like Sandberg, Mr. Cub, Ernie Banks, Sutcliffe. I mean, we always had the best players and the ones that are just pious, I mean, humble, just playing the game, and being humble to the people around them, even our visitors that come into our park. Our organization is awesome.
Well, one thing is that when you reflect on the career of Ryan Sandberg, I can't think of one player in the 15, now 16 years, because he was with Philadelphia his part of his rookie year, but of the 15 seasons, full seasons with the Cubs, I can't think of one opposing player who had anything negative to say about Ryan Sandberg. Not one manager, not one teammate, not one opposing player, right? So that right. speaks volumes about his character. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Do we have time to take another call before we take a break? All right, let's go to Susie from Lake Bluff. Susie, you're on 670 The Score.
Hey, Chuck. Thanks for taking my call. I'm out walking my dog Wrigley right now. I just wanted to call and say I ran into Rhino a lot in town, and most recently saw him at the grocery store about a year and a half ago. And I thought, I'm going to say something. I'm 45, so I missed that 84 season. I was only 5 at the time. But what I do remember is being, and I told Rhino, in sixth grade, I used to stash my Fisher-Price radio in my locker. And in sixth grade, in science class, we had an idiot teacher. I would walk out of class, and she had no idea what was going on. And I'd go and I'd listen to the first inning in the girls' bathroom. And then I told Rhino this, and I said, I loved the Vizcaino, Rhino, Gracie, yep. The Ray Sanchez,
yes.
And Steve Buschel. Those are the players I remember. And I just loved that 6-4-3 combo. And I told him, I even told him, I said, I had a crush on Rick Wilkins at the time.
Oh, like, my gosh.
I told him Rick Wilkins,
by the way, for fans, who's Rick Wilkins? He was a catcher for the Cubs.
He was a catcher yes. for the Cubs. But I was just beside myself, so excited to tell him all this and just how much he – watching him play made me really just fall in love with the Cubs and be an all-time just dedicated fan. And I left. He came over to me about 5 minutes later and said, "Do you want a picture?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd love one." So we had a picture. Then I walk out to the parking lot. He drives by with his wife, and they both wave. Bye-bye, see you later.
Yep.
So you fast forward 2 days later, and I'm uptown at the park, and I see he's over there watching his grandson play baseball. He was always at the Little League games, and I'm walking Wrigley. And he sees me. I'm not even trying to get his attention. You know, I'm just walking my dog. He sees me, flags me down, and waves at me again. I couldn't believe it. It was for somebody who just, like I said, would sit there with her Fisher-Price radio listening to the Harry start the game for
yep.
the first inning. This was everything. And the guy was class from top to bottom, and he meant a lot to the game, to the city, and to our community, and it's just a big loss.
You know, the innocence of baseball during those days before the lights came, 8-8-88, and of course that game was rained out against Philadelphia, and they played the next night. But there was just day baseball. And in fact, remember, that's why the Cubs and Padres had to flip in the series with the National League Championship Series with San Diego and the Cubs. And that's how people would mm-hmm. take their transistor radios. There was no internet. There were no cell phones yep. back in those days. So like yourself, you would bring a transistor radio and you would listen to Harry, Vincent, Lou, Milo, whomever.
Yep.
And that's how you would find out if the Cubs, the Cubs didn't play 3 o'clock games in 1984.
They played. Yeah, they were 105, 110,
110
starts.
Yep,
that's sixth grade. That's science class. Perfect.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Susie. All right, 312-644-6767. We're going to go until midnight tonight. And we want to hear from you because really, this is a celebration of Ryan Sandberg. And obviously, there's a time to grieve, there's a time to mourn, and those things are very, very healthy and they're very much needed. But for now, tonight, we want, as a group of fans, we want to celebrate his career, and we want to celebrate first and foremost for those who met him, like a lot of people did, where they see him at a grocery store or they see him other places and say, and where he volunteered saying, "Hey, you want a picture?" Because a lot of people are too shy when they meet a celebrity saying, "Nah, no." And yet, here's Sandberg saying, "Hey, you want a picture?" Because he enjoyed it as much as you did receiving it. So this is really a celebration of Ryan Sandberg, and this is going to continue tomorrow. And yeah, there was a baseball game tonight, the Brewers won, but really that pales in comparison to this story. This is the story, not the Brewers beating the Cubs and not the Cubs at trade deadline. We can get to all that stuff, and that's fine, but that's not the story tonight. The story tonight is Ryan Sandberg and Ryan Sandberg fans on 670 The Score.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.